Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In preparation for this week's sermon, I revisited A Muppet's Christmas Carol, which is, in my opinion, the finest adaptation of the works by Charles Dickens' Ebenezer Scrooge. Michael Caine brings Scrooge to life with a cast of Muppets that help you chuckle your way through the tale of a miserly old man in Victorian England who is visited by three ghosts that help him examine his past, his present, and his future. He is not expecting them. He has no idea how his way of life has been impacting other people. And by the end of the third ghost's visit, Scrooge realizes that he can change his ways and turn to a way of life that is not only more hopeful, but more generous, fulfilling, and surrounded by people he actually cares about and who, despite his bad attitude, also care about him. The thing I like about this adaptation of this particular story, apart from Gonzo and Rizzo the Rat, is that at the beginning of the story, Scrooge is a mean and lonely old man, and the only thing he has and the only thing he loves is his money. And by the end of it, he is restored to his community and has learnt that in giving away what he has, he is brought to a place of peace and freedom and fulfillment. Now, I'm not sure if Dickens was inspired by the Gospels for this particular work, but I can't help thinking he was, because in my nerdy way, I looked it up and he was, in fact, an Anglican, so winner. However, as we know, when we ask God certain questions, God doesn't always answer in the way that we hope, but we still hope. And that is because hope is a big part of the Christian journey. And this is Advent 1, so I had to get hope into the sermon. We hope that everything will be okay and that God will make things all right for us. We hope that God will bring the kind of peace that Isaiah speaks about in the first reading today, peace for all nations. And we hear texts from Matthew's gospel today and we think, what is going on Hope Sunday, a mere 28 days to Christmas? Why, you're welcome, why are we hearing this text that has been so confusing for us about who is to be taken and who is to be left behind? The apocalypse just seems wrong for Advent. And no one seems to know. We only hear that there is something that happens where some people are taken and some people aren't. And Jesus says, be ready and be prepared. For what though? And how can we be prepared for something that we do not know what it is? Because nobody knows the future. Nobody knows what it looks like. And if we had the opportunity, I'm willing to bet that most of us wouldn't mind taking a peek like Ebenezer Scrooge. And that with that knowledge, we may choose to do a few things differently. But that's the story from the imagination of a good Anglican, hopeful man who hoped for the same things that we do on this journey with God, that we'll make it through, that we'll be relatively unscathed, and that God will make things all right. It seems as if the preparations we are to make are the preparations of compassion and grace and welcome, to love one another as Jesus loved us and commanded us to do, to demonstrate what peace looks like by beating our spears into plowshares. But how? How do we do this in a world that looks anything but peaceful? When we look at the news, the theme seems to be unrest and uncertainty. And this is why this week I considered perhaps we've been reading Matthew's apocalyptic texts, if that's what they are, all wrong. Maybe he's not talking about the apocalypse at all. Maybe he's just talking about life. Because life is a series of moments, isn't it? He speaks about the moments. We know exactly what to expect occasionally. For example, you know that unless I oversleep, if you are here on a Sunday morning, a service will begin. 12 hours later, you know that the news at 10 appears on the telly. Some things are routine. But what about the unexpected things in life that we did not know the time or the hour until we were in the midst of them and no preparation was possible? I think of some of the joyful moments, moments like when my younger brother was born at home in our house, moments like when Myrtle, my dog, which most of you have met, came running across a crowded SPCA lobby straight into my arms as though she'd been waiting for me. The moment I heard I would actually be ordained to the priesthood. And then there are the other moments, aren't there? Like when my best friend said, "Luce, I've got breast cancer." The moment when I realized my marriage was over. The moment I heard that my friend Jesus had been murdered in the downtown East Side. These moments, these good or bad, are the stuff of life, and there is no preparation possible. Those were some of mine. I wonder what yours are. I wonder what sits in this room, the good and the bad. Because I don't know about you, but in many of those moments, particularly the awful ones, it felt like the world had fell off its axis and like it was indeed ending. But Jesus looks to us and says, "Hey, be prepared." How? How do we do this? We do this by walking faithfully, like being like Noah, doing God's work, even if other people are doing something different or tell us we're crazy. Perhaps now it might be caring for God's creation and protecting it from a catastrophe like a drought or a flood. You might be out in a field with someone one day walking, and the next day you might be walking alone because that friend is no longer with you. Maybe you'll be at work with someone one day, and then the next, they're just not there anymore. There are lots of things you cannot prepare for. And maybe what Jesus is telling us is that life can be so unpredictable that the only thing that is consistent and that you can truly count on is the love of God. We want to be ready for anything. In fact, governments spend millions scenario planning for anything. Jesus simply says, "Be awake to what is happening in the moment. I am coming to you all the time." This is what Advent is about. It is about remembering and reawakening in ourselves that knowledge that Jesus is coming in every moment, is present in every moment, because Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit of Pentecost, which has been passed down to each of you, the baptized, and is always with you. The present, after all, is all we really have, isn't it? Dwelling in either the past or the future only robs us of the now and what God might be calling us to, either as individuals or as a church. And the world is always uncertain, and it has always been and will always be. We do not know what the next unexpected gift or tragedy is going to be or when it will occur, but we know that God keeps God's promises. And how do we know this? We know from the prophet Isaiah that what he said came to be. We know that he preached about a God-led world which looked peaceful for all nations, and that he commanded his chosen people, and by extension, he commanded us to show folks what that looks like. Apocalypse days and hours are the difficult moments in life, the trials that we pray to be spared from, but they are part of life, as much for us as they were for the infant Jesus being born into a feeding trough in possibly an outhouse behind a public house. In these times, it can be hard to know what to pray for. But this is where we are called to place our hope in Jesus and remain faithful to God, which can be challenging because it means getting comfortable with the uncomfortable, with uncertainty, and understanding that we cannot control when certain things will happen. We cannot control one another, and we certainly cannot control God. To try to do so would be wildly arrogant. If not even the highest angels in heaven or the Son of Man himself knows the hour when God will do whatever God will do, what business of that is ours? As the psalmist says, some things are too great and too wonderful for me. But what we do know, because we have the scriptures of the Hebrew Testaments, we have the Bible, we have the witness of those who have gone before us, what we do know is that God keeps God's promises, and that this life, although this may seem a little heavy for Advent, the good news is that we exist in this life, which is kind of like the fleshy waiting room. And God is constantly creating and recreating with us and for us, and knowing what God has done, and knowing what Jesus teaches us, These are the foundations that we can steady ourselves on, like the man who built his house on rock, because it is a firm foundation that God keeps God's promises. And that is what the coming of Jesus in Advent is about, the promise of God being fulfilled then, now, and tomorrow. Our part in this is to follow Jesus' teachings with a sense of urgency, because we do not know the future, but like the story of Scrooge, we know that the future is not set in stone. Even when it feels like the world is ending, there is always something that we can be doing that will bring light to a place that is struggling in darkness. And not giving into that darkness is what discipleship is about. And that's what the season of Advent prepares us for again. Emmanuel, the light of the world shining amidst the uncertainty of the earth. God with us. Amen.